Good morning. My name is Ainsley Myers from Westlake Christian School. Our scripture reading this morning comes from Colossians chapter 3, verses 12 through 17. Since God chose you to be the holy people he loves, you must clothe yourselves with tender-hearted mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Make allowance for each other's faults and forgive anyone who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. Above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds us all together in perfect harmony. And let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your hearts. For as members of one body, you are called to live in peace, and always be thankful. Let the message about Christ, in all its richness, fill your lives. Teach and counsel each other with all the wisdom he gives. Sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs to God with thankful hearts. And whatever you do or say, do it as a representative of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
I wonder how many of you enjoy wearing clothes. Yeah, I wonder how many of you enjoy buying new clothes. I am so glad that you put clothes on today. I'm glad that clothing is something that all of us do together. We all put on clothes and we all take off clothes every day. My name's Keith Harcombe, and I'm your lead pastor here at Palm Harbor. And if I haven't met you yet, I'd love to in the lobby after the service if you're looking at the pictures of our graduates. We're in week 5 of our series, The Domino Effect. And we've been talking about the impact that a 2-inch domino can have on dominoes 1.5 times bigger than themselves. So, should a 2-inch domino fall and hit a one that's 4 inches taller, the impact at number 33, they tell us, can knock over the Eiffel Tower. So, the domino effect we've been talking about is these principles that we can learn as followers of Jesus Christ. And the first domino was that we would be the proximity of Christ, the proximity to the extended Christ, starts the small domino falling. We realize that Christ is in me. The second domino we've been talking about is that we realize that Christ is in you. The third one is that Christ is in us. Oh, good job. People are following along here, yeah? The third one was Christ is in us. And the fourth one we did last week is that Christ is our life. And when we realize the fourth domino, that Christ is our life, we realize that our life is so much more important. That what we do and what we say is so important, and it should point back to our life in Christ and these other dominoes that we have figured out. Today, we're doing domino number 5. And domino number 5 is our method. And it was read for us this morning. We've been in Colossians, which is a letter that Paul wrote to the church in Colossae. And Colossae was in Asia Minor. It wasn't a church that Paul planted, but it was a church that he planted, and somebody out of there planted this church. And he's in jail. He's in chains. And he's writing this letter to Colossae to encourage them, exhort them, to have them understand what it means to follow Christ. And he's responsible, the Apostle Paul, for communicating the gospel all around the Mediterranean. And in this particular scripture today, he talks about clothing. So I brought my closet with me today. You don't mind, do you? I brought my closet with me today. And, you know, like you, I wear clothes for different reasons. Yet if I'm feeling sporty, if I'm feeling like I'm going to exercise, I'll wear this jacket. I'll wear this cycling jersey. I'm feeling sporty. I'll put this on. And you, when you walk, you'll put something different on, right? Right? So it depends on the environment, on what you wear. If I need to attend a wedding, or if I need to go to a rehearsal that requires me to dress in a different manner, I'll put something on a bit more formal, like a vest, or, you know, like something that says, this is an important occasion, and this is the clothing I wear to signify that occasion. I might put I might put another shirt on that's dark to think about things I'm grieving about, when I'm reminiscing about something. You've seen people put armbands on around their arms that says that I'm grieving right now for the loss of somebody. A lot of football players do it. I have an insecurity from my youth. We could never afford name brand clothes. My mother, when she'd take me to the store, she would always get me Adidas 4-stripe, right? We couldn't afford it. And ever since I've been able to afford it, I've always bought Adidas clothing, no plug or anything. I'm not getting any royalties or whatever, but I've always, wanted to have this clothing. It's something that makes me feel like, oh, now I feel good because I can afford this kind of clothing. And it's normally when I'm trying to feel cool, trying to feel relaxed, that I'll wear this jacket. And my kids know where I am because they can see the stripes when you're walking through an airport. And it means a lot to me that I can wear these clothes. Some of you wear different clothes on different occasions. So today is an important occasion and we're celebrating. I see Mr. Weaver's got a nice jacket on, so I've got a jacket here so that I can join with him in celebrating the occasion. Put a nice jacket on and you'll go to a graduation. How many graduations? You got graduations to go to this week, next week, the week after? Yeah, we got graduations too. So if I'm celebrating something important, we're doing the sacraments, we've got a baptism, I'll put a jacket on. And it says about the importance of the occasion. It says that what I'm wearing means something. It means that the environment that I'm in is absolutely important. This means a lot to our graduates today as you're sitting there in your hats and in your robes. Clothing is important. What we wear says something. Now, some of you grew up in Florida. Who grew up in Florida? Who's a natives? Oh, lots of natives over here. Yeah. Yeah, you guys wear flip-flops, everything. Good grief. Yeah, you go to a funeral, people in flip-flops. You go to a wedding, people in flip-flops. Some of you are in church today in flip-flops. But the rest of the country wears attire fitting for the event. Attire fitting that says, this is an important event, and what I am wearing right now means a lot. This sweater, this jacket means to me that I am no longer poor like we once were. I no longer have to listen to my mom say, we can't afford the name brand clothes. Now I can wear them. The environment depicts what we wear. The people around us, the things we're celebrating, depicts what we wear. Now, the scripture that was read to you today was Paul talking to Colossae. And the first thing he says in chapter 3, you can go there if you want. If you're watching online, open up another tab and Google Colossians 3. 12 through 17. If you've read it before or you've already memorized it, just read it again. You might see something different. You might see something different. Here we go. Verse 12. Since God chose you to be the holy people he loves, you must clothe yourselves with tender-hearted mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Make allowance for each other's faults, and forgive anyone who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. Above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds us all together in perfect harmony. Now, that first word there in Greek, in lots of other English translation, in the verse 12, it says, since then. In other translations, it says, therefore. And when you see a therefore in Scripture, you have to say, what is the therefore, therefore? Yeah, some of you know that, yeah. What is the therefore, therefore? It's therefore because of the verse before. In verse 11, Paul says, in this new life, in these new clothes, he says, it doesn't matter if you are a Jew or a Gentile, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbaric, uncivilized, slave or free. Christ is all that matters, and he lives in all of us. All of us. He's saying that actually, because of you now know this, because you're adopted into this family, you're adopted into the tree of Jesse, you have now de facto become a Hebrew, the family of God. Since that, therefore, I want you to do this. I want you to put some clothes on. I want you to clothe yourselves. Now, the word there for clothe is endeo. Endeo in Greek is the same word that is used for when John is talking about John the Baptist and what he was wearing. His clothing was camel hair. Yeah, different occasion. It's the same clothing, the same word that we use for clothing when we're talking about kings and priests and what they wear and the robes that they wear. And it's the same word that the gospel writers use to talk about our new life. Clothe yourselves with this new life that God has given you. And Paul says, clothe yourselves. Clothe yourselves with what? Well, the first thing that Paul says, clothe yourself with is, what does it say in your scripture? We're going to put it on the screen for you as well here. What does it say in your scripture? Tender-heartedness. Clothe yourselves with tender-heartedness. That means when you are talking to people about your relationship with Christ, when you are given an account of how you have learned about Jesus, you're aware of other people and their situations. You are tender-hearted. You're aware of the other person. The next thing he says put on is what? Kindness. Put on kindness. That means that no matter what we're going through, no matter what denominational mess you're going through, no matter what church leaders are saying, no matter what our leaders in the country are saying, no matter what pandemic's going on, no matter worries that we have, no matter, be kind to one another. Be kind to one another. And I'm just talking about in the church right now. That's what Paul's talking about. He's talking about in the church. Be kind to one another. Just in the parking lot. Just being kind to each other in the parking lot. Those of you who drive through Westlake every day, you guys know. Yeah? Be kind to each other. Bob Tuttle always says, always approach people like they're one of these four things. H-A-L-T. Hurting. Angry. Lonely. Tired. If we approach people like that, we can be more kind to people and aware. What's the next one? He says, humility. Be humble to one another. Clothe yourselves with, literally in the morning, put on this humbleness. Put on humility. And humility is not thinking less of yourself. It's thinking of yourself less. Thinking about what I can do for this person. What could I possibly do that would communicate the method of Christ? Next one he said is put on what? Gentleness. I need this jacket the most. I need this clothing the most because I'm not very gentle. In fact, I get excited really easy. I get excited really easy, and I get excited when new people, my friend of mine got married, and his wife is gentle and humble and kind, and I'm like, it's so nice to meet you, and I'm like, I've frightened the life out of her kind of thing, and she jumps up, and we're driving coffee together. Coffee goes everywhere. Do you think she's being communicated the gentleness of Christ in this situation? No. Next time we met, I did the same thing, and I knocked the coffee out of her hand this time. We don't drink coffee anymore. Be gentle. Be caring to one another. Be aware of how you're being received by the other. One of the top leaders in the country the other day said that if you want to be a good leader, ask the person you're leading, what's it like to be on the other side of me? And the fifth one is what? Patience. Be patient with one another. be aware in our time of instantaneous gratification, in our time of constant updates on our phones, in our time we want to know things immediately. Why don't I know it right now? Be patient. Delayed gratification is something we need to learn all over again, amen? Especially with people. Relationships take time. Delayed gratification and expecting someone to be transformed completely by Christ. Now. Let's go to church. Come to church. Get into Bible study. Join us. We know you're going to love this. It takes time, energy. Who are you? How can I meet you? All right, that's it. We're good, right? We've got all whole five. We've got these things. We're good. You put these on, you're all good. What does the next verse say? Above all these things, somebody shout, one of the children is shouting it out, put on love. Now, the graduation robe is very popular in this season. The robe signified in history, they would wear these daily, like Harry Potter. You know, they would wear them daily around the establishment to say whom they were, especially during the time when the pastors and the priests and the vicars were in the institution. And the priests would wear a robe, and the students would all wear robes to signify the kind of level of academia that they were at. And you'll see it, you know, in schools that you all go to, whether it's high school, graduate education, postgraduate education, PhDs. They all wear these, and some floppy hats, and you know, stoles and ropes around them to signify the kind of academic achievement they have got and what field they have graduated in. Now we only wear them like once a year. Now we wear them to show that we achieved an area, achieved an academic goal. They used to wear them every day in the school to signify who they were. And Dr. Rogenbaum would wear one, Mr. Weaver would wear one. Mrs. Wakefield would wear one, and you'd walk around in your floppy hat kind of thing all the time. And this signified whom you represented and what academic achievement or what religious achievement that you had achieved. And we don't wear them around a lot anymore. We normally take them off after this. You take it off and give it to whoever's with you. In New York University, I was in New York this week at the graduation of my daughter. She was in the coffee shop. She gave you a cup of coffee. And all the graduates wear their robes around the city. It's just a cool experience as you're going on the subway, when you're around the city, the people have got their robes on and everyone says to them, congratulations. Congratulations for achieving this. And everywhere's violet and everyone's aware of where you're graduating from. The robe signifies to us the robe of love. We can't do all these five unless we have it covered in the love of Christ. We can't just take this off. When we leave here, when you go out into the sanctuary, out into the lobby today, you can't just take it off and say, well, you know, I don't need love anymore. I'm fine without the love, and I'll take off these. All the hangers are falling on the floor. And you can't take off this one. You can't say, well, I don't need any of the patience. I don't need patience anymore when I leave the parking lot, although you probably really do need patience when you leave the parking lot. You need patience when you go home to your family. You probably need it more after you've been on your working day, after you've been in and amongst the community. You probably should be more patient with your spouse, with your family, with the people around you. Most people are not won into the kingdom by being judged of their behavior. Most people are not judged into the kingdom of God. They are loved into the kingdom of God. And it's not like when you graduate, when you're done with Westlake, you'll take off this one. What's this one called? Some of you are paying attention. Gentleness. We don't take gentleness off. We don't stop being gentle to one another. We don't go from here to the next school. We don't go from here to the next job. It's like, well, I used to be gentle over there. I'm not going to be gentle over here anymore because that never got me anywhere. We don't stop being gentle. We don't stop being a person who cares. They don't take this one off and be like, well, I'm done with being humble. Definitely over that. That's like not what it's cracked out to be. I don't want to be humble anymore. I'll take that off. I'm done. It's a lot of work being humble. It's a lot of work being kind to one another. And tender-hearted takes a lot of effort on my part. And just being aware of other people just takes energy on my part. I think I'm just going to stop doing that. Paul says, over all these, you must have love. We can't just take these on and off as we wish. Paul goes on to talk about why we have this, why we have patience, why we have gentleness, humility, and kindness, and tender heart and mercy. We have this because the former self is gone. The life that we once thought we could get by just with the five is gone. And we have a new life that is hidden in Christ. Amen? Paul goes on to say in verse 15, he goes on to say these things. He says, and let the peace of Christ that comes from Christ, the peace that comes from Christ, rule in your hearts, for as members of one body, you are called to live in peace. And always be thankful. Let the message about Christ in all its richness fill your lives. Teach and counsel each other with all the wisdom he gives. Sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs to God with thankful hearts. And whatever you do or say, do it as representatives of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. Let the message of Christ dwell in you richly. Be thankful. And so these five things are our method. They're the way we communicate who we are, the way we communicate our new identity in Christ. These five things are core to who we are. It's our method. You might say that we are methodists. And we sing these things. We sang the Westlake Anthem. We believe it's the reflection on what it means on the Apostles' Creed. That's who we are. And we sing. Sometimes I don't feel like singing. Sometimes I don't feel like talking about coming to church and singing. And then I start to hear other people sing. And then I start to hear other people worship and lift their voices. I hear the choir, I hear the organ, I hear the melody, I hear all sorts of different voices lifting their voice. And I'm like, oh, this is good. This is what I remember. I know, I remember now. I gotta put on my clothes again. I realized that tender heart and mercy was really important. I remember that patience was important. I remember that love over all these things is really important. I'm like, oh yeah, now I remember. Oh, I'm gonna lift my voice. The founders of the Methodism, the Wesleys, they always wanted to put sermons to song. So John Wesley would preach for a long time, way more than 25 minutes, people. And then John Wesley would talk, and then Charles Wesley would put it into song, and the people would learn what it meant to be loved by God, and they'd sing. They'd sing with their voices. They'd sing 5 verses, 6 verses, 7 verses, and they'd be so excited about the hope that they have in Jesus Christ. They'd be so excited that they would sing and proclaim through singing psalms together. And Paul says, do this. Do this. This is what encourages you. This is what and exhorts you and gets you to a place where you can get the Holy Spirit agitated within you. It's where you can, oh yeah, I remember that. I remember these virtues. I remember these things that I must do in order to communicate that. And he goes on to say, we got to do this every day, by the way, not just in church. Every day, put these things on. And then he goes on to say, you must be representatives of this gospel. You must be ambassadors, an emissary. And an ambassador is somebody that sticks out for what they believe in. In my travels around the world, I got to see different ambassadors in different countries. And they would represent a little bit of United Kingdom, a little bit of Spain, a little bit of France, or a little bit of United States. An ambassador is someone who says, we're here to represent this country. A U.S. ambassador, a job description for U.S. ambassador, is someone who makes productive relationships whether the country is hostile or friendly. They look out to protect all U.S. citizens abroad. You, with this method, are ambassadors. You are people that represent this love of Christ. You are the people that have this method to communicate what it means to follow Jesus. And this is what we do each day. We put on these clothes. We clothe ourselves. We endemo ourselves. We put on these things. I'm going to ask Jessica to come up and help me right now. And we're going to talk about the five dominoes. Welcome, Jessica, to the platform. You guys can clap. I know she's been up before, but she's going to help me get the dominoes behind here. And we're on the final five dominoes. You know that the first domino is the proximity of Christ. And you know that with this domino, when you have an encounter with Christ, when you meet the ascended Christ, this is the first domino. You have to remember that this is a 2-inch domino. And then second of all, we have the next domino that falls, which is Christ in you. You guys can help out. Those of you who've been here before, you know, it's like Christ in you. And the third domino is Christ in us. The fourth domino is today, not today, last week, Christ is our life. And our final one here on the Jessica's left arm is Christ is our method. Christ is our method. These five principles, this clothing that we've been using, this is our method to communicate what's going on in our life. Because when we get these four dominoes, something massive happens in our lives. When we understand these four dominoes, something massive starts to happen. We realize that our life is so much more important. We realize that what Christ has done in us is important, and we must communicate that. And it's like all of a sudden, the dominoes start to fall. Thanks, Jessica. My hope is that you are getting the dominoes. My hope is that you are understanding what Christ has done. And something's happened in your life. You've understood that Christ and the proximity to Christ is so important to you. And that because of that, you realize that he's in us. That you realize that he's in all of us together. That he's our life. He's our everything we've ever wanted. And then we've got to put these clothes on every day. We've got to put these clothes on that Paul mentions to us, we've got to put on patience. We have to put on kindness. We have to put on tender-hearted mercy. We have to put on gentleness towards one another. Not because it looks good. Not because this is a good idea and it helps us in our self-help. Because after that, we have to put on the robe of love. And over that, when we know that Christ is our robe of love, when that robe of love is over all these, Christ will be glorified and others will know that you follow him too. Amen? Domino number 5 is Christ is our method. Let's pray together. Gracious and Heavenly Father, thank you so much that you have taught us what it means to follow you. Thank you for your servant Paul that has continued to communicate what it means to follow you. Thank you, Lord, that you love each and every person in this room right now and those gathered online. We're thankful, Lord, that you understand whom we are. And we pray, Lord God, today as we get these dominoes, that we'd be able to communicate this method to others around us. We ask this all in your precious and powerful name. And everybody said, amen.